Yeah, it could be that again a kazai is a volume, so it could be that there are gigantic zaysim, like they're not the average one. I don't know what's called an average zayis today, but it could be the biggest zaysim today are that volume. Could be what? Again, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure how it fits in with the kazaysim today, but he says that the eggs today is the regular eggs. Some stomach kazaysim and some regular kazaysim, but that's very difficult to say that an egg is two kazaysim. Right? The eggs may be the same, but because if that's the case, then the relationship between a kazaysim and an egg doesn't hold water. I mean, I'm not sure how the kazaysim works. Yeah, they exist for sure, but they're not the average kazayis. In the time of Chazal, the kazayis was low, not gadol and not cotton, but the medium size. Those aren't medium size olives. L'chora. I mean, on the other hand, the eggs are medium size eggs, and medium size eggs is not two or even three medium size olives. I don't know how it works together. Yeah, I'm saying, but it doesn't go according to the olives. It's just that the bigger shiurim are dependent on the fact that the olives and the eggs change completely different than they used to be. So that may be not completely different. So they're what's it called? They were a little bit bigger than the average olive is, like the big ones now, but not that they're mamish, like double the size or whatever. Okay. Now, in making a motzi, during the week, if you're cutting bread from a loaf of bread, a complete loaf, it's better, first of all, if you have a complete loaf, to make the bracha on a sholem. And if you don't have a complete one, but you have two, one's bigger than the other, to make the motzi on the bigger one. Okay, that's if you want to eat the whole loaf and you want to eat the bigger one. If you're not interested in eating it, you don't have to go and get a whole loaf to make a motzi on. If you're interested, you only have a half a loaf of bread, right? You don't have any other one. You don't have to get a bigger one. You don't have to get a whole one. You make the one you want to eat. We're talking over here where you want to eat both. You have a whole loaf and you have a part. The meal's going to include all of it. Then the one you make the motzi on should be the whole one. Right? And that takes precedence over a bigger one. If you have a gigantic loaf, but it's not whole, and you have a whole one that's smaller, and you're going to eat both of them, you make the motzi on the whole one. If you have two whole ones, one's a little, roll, and one's a loaf of bread, and you want to eat both of them, then you should make the motzi on the bigger one. Okay. That is the first thing. Secondly, we said last week that you should begin cutting the thing you're making the motzi on, right, where you have to cut it. If you're making it on a little roll and you just pull off a piece, that's not, there's no hefzi. But if you have to start cutting into a loaf, so then the way to do it during the week is to cut all the way down until the point where you can still hold on to the thing that's cut and the rest will come along with it. In other words, it's not cut so much that if you pull it, it'll pull away. Okay, so that's cutting it down, leaving a significant amount uncut. And then at the finishing of the bracha, you finish the cut and immediately eat it. So this way there's no hefzik in the cutting. Right? Even though the evidence, no hefzik to cut it. But the bracha should be as close to the eating as possible. And therefore, that's what you do. On Shabbos, you don't do that, because we're afraid that you may cut too much and then you made the bracha not on Lechem Mishnah. Here, during the week, it's a hither to have a sholeh, but it's not a halacha. On Shabbos, you have to have Lechem Mishnah. So therefore, we're afraid on Shabbos that if you cut so far down, even though it's still considered Lechem Mishnah, you may cut a little bit too more and it won't be considered Lechem Mishnah. So Shabbos, you only make according to most opinions, you make a roshem. You just make a line on the top, And there's a shaila whether then you have to continue cutting on that line or not. Some say that when you made the line, that's where you're going to cut. Right? So it makes it more, you're faster to know where you're going to cut. Others say just the opposite. Start looking for the line, you'll matzik a lot more. So if you know where the line is, you should cut on the line. If you have to go look for it, cut wherever you have to. There's a reason to make the roshim, the svarim bring down, that just like by truma, there's an idea of separation, right? Of separating part from part. By emotzi also is an inyan of separation. The one you're making the emotzi on is separated from the others, and therefore even a line represents that separation.
Right, when you cut them during the week, you have to be able to hold it from the small piece?
It's in a small piece, right.
The small piece you have to be able to hold it?
Right. That the other part comes along with it. Yeah, so
it mounts like a slipper.
What?
Like a tiny
No. A little bit more than half you could do.
Yeah, say if you have like a slice of pizza and you're going to pick up another piece.
You have a slice of pizza you don't cut unless you're for an Indian. Forget about the Indian. You went through that last week. You don't cut pizza. You just, that's what I'm saying. If you have a little roll, you're not going to cut it or whatever. You just pull
pizza.
A piece off. What?
That round piece of cut, you know? Round homemade pizza. You don't eat it. It's not a triangle.
Right, right.
Cut it.
Right.
Yes, I cut it.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. We don't eat the whole pizza like that.
I'm saying when I cut it, I cut off a little piece for me to eat. Yeah, right. A bite size. So.
Right, but they're also. You don't even. You use a knife to cut it, or you to pull off a piece.
Well, it's a knife.
Okay. Okay. So then in Hanami, it's just make a roshim because you can't cut anything. Okay. You should hold. Hold the bread in your hand. What's it called? Normally you hold the thing you're making the brach on your right hand. But when it comes to a motzi, there's an inyan specifically to put your 10 fingers on the thing you're making the motzi on. Because the 10 mitzvahs that go into the process of making bread, and that's a hint, it's the ten fingers. And you should, when you say Baruch Ata Hashem, you should pick up the thing you're making the motzi on. And again, what's it called? Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Again, hamotzi, pick it up again. Okay. Okay, that is the... And you shouldn't be mafsik between the bracha and the eating. You should eat immediately. Okay, that means that you shouldn't say start making, what's it called, pantomime things with your hands, or whatever. That's also considered a hefsik, even though b'di'evit it's not a hefsik. Some hold that humming a niggun between the motzi and eating it is also a hefsik. Some say it's not. They shouldn't do anything. You should just wait. If the person making a motzi, so you eat right away, and then you give out to everybody else. Everybody else is waiting. During that waiting, again, they shouldn't be doing pantomime. They shouldn't be saying shah, nu, or whatever, or singing, humming a niggun. You just wait to eat. It's not shy to get everybody get the same exact time, unless they have things in front of them, which most people don't do, or some people don't do, or whatever. Right? They hand out from the Lecha Mishnah, on Shabbos especially. So there, you should just wait quietly till you get your piece. You shouldn't throw the bread to people, nor should you hand it to them directly. Handing directly is like you do through an oval. I don't know which aveilim we do that to, but I guess that was a minute by aveilim. So you shouldn't hand the piece directly into their hand. You should put it in front of them and they take it. But you shouldn't throw it across the table like a frisbee either if you're eating pitas or whatever, right? However, there is a chsam sofer that says that since the eating on the table is like a mizbeach, and the mizbeach, they used to throw the evarim on the kevesh, there was a space between the kevesh and the mizbeach, and they used to throw the carbon, the pieces of the carbon, from the kevesh onto the mizbeach over that space. So Chassam Sofer says, l'zecher that you should throw the motzi, not throw it across the table, but like throw it in front of the person, not put it down mamash in front of the person. So people who throw it that way are not doing something wrong. Even though it seems from the halacha you shouldn't throw it bechlal, you surely shouldn't throw it in a way that's going to fall on the floor and get ruined. Away. That's the reason you don't throw bread. Also, it's a bezayin for the bread. Here's not a bezayin doing it for a good reason.
So it's only on Shabbos.
during the week also, but during the week most of the time. What? Yeah, same thing. Salt. The minig is to put salt on the table and dip the bread three times into the salt. Not to pour salt on the bread. The reason is because I'll call karboncha timloch melech, but the bread is not considered a korban. The table is considered a mizbeach. So you pour salt on the mizbeach. You don't pour, and if you have a tablecloth, it's bottled to the table. You don't take off the tablecloth and pour it directly on the table. But if you have a challah board or whatever, you shouldn't put the salt on the challah board. You should put it on the table. Pour the salt on the table or tablecloth, even if there's a plastic on it, it's all bottled to the table. But if you have something else on there, lechora, that's not your table. That's a separate thing. So a lot of people pour the salt over the bread, or they pour the salt on the challah board. Both of those lechora are not what you should do. Put it on the table, mamish, and then dip it three times. There's another reason for the salt, and that is you should make a bracha on bread that's tasty. They used to bake bread without any additives or whatever, and it was tuffel, it was bland. So you got to put salt. What's a nafkamina? The nafkamina, if you don't have salt, but you have something else to dip the bread into or whatever, that'll make it a little bit tastier. Another nafkamina is all of our bread today is baked with things that make it tasty. It's not bland. So the second reason lechora doesn't apply today at all. The only reason would be because of the mizbeach, right? So then what's it called? You can't use coleslaw juice, right, to put it on the mizbeach. So if the bread is already tasty and you don't have salt, lechora there's no inyan to dip the bread into coleslaw juice or to pour coleslaw juice on the table. Matzah. Okay, maybe. If you have matzah, but matzah says Leil HaSeder, some people you shouldn't use salt. Dafka, because you shouldn't have anything that's mafriya to the time of the matzah. Whatever. The lack of time of the matzah.
If it's like chumas or something, if it is salt in the chumas, then you want salt. Then it's like is with salt.
Yeah, but you could not salt karbanos with chumas. Even if there was salt in it.
Even that's got an ingredient of salt.
I didn't look it up, but I'm sure that you would not yotze be molech korbanos with chumas.
And you go to weddings often.
Even for an Israeli.
What? You go to weddings very often. There's no salt on the table.
Right.
Put it in
Right. So if you're eating at the wedding bread that's bland, there may be an inyan to put it into chumas. If the bread is not bland, like most breads, right, and there's no salt, then the chora, there's no inyan to do it. I don't know what the inyan is to...
Tastier.
So then you might as well go get peanut butter, jelly, and mayonnaise, too. There's no words that say it has to be tastier. It shouldn't be tasteless. That's all.
Or is that being massive?
What?
There's no purpose to do it.
Right, then the chora, the chora. What? First of all, it doesn't have to stick completely. One gargir goes on the thing. Three times I'll pick up all of them. I have no idea. That's the reason is I'll pick up all of them. What does that mean? I have no idea. Also at Shabbos, even though this is not okay, since we mentioned Shabbos, the difference. Shabbos, Friday night, you cut the bottom challah. And Shabbos morning and all Yomim Tovim, night and day, you cut the top challah. And that is, the reason for it is, one of the reasons, is that except for Friday night, the hashpa always comes from above to below. So therefore you cut the top one down. But Friday night, the hashpa comes down from here up. So I learned from that somewhere, and Dani Bader of Baruch Hashem showed me a source that therefore you cut the bottom challah, but not top down, but bottom up. Cut it from the bottom up. And what's it called? That is, that's what I do. And I see that there's a makor for it. I don't remember who it was, some Rebbe or whatever did it like that. For the same reason that I held you to it like that.
Just the first slice.
Who?
Just the first slice.
Just the first slice. Now, how the slices go, during the week, if you're cutting a loaf, you shouldn't cut more than a kebeya, which is one nice big slice. Some people say bisman hazeh, that's not the case, because today people, slices of kebeya, people normally hold that in their hand, even hold two slices of a sandwich in their hand to eat. So it doesn't apply today, according to many shitas. You can cut a piece that you need for, that you're going to eat, normal for that meal. Okay? So when you cut, you're cutting, what's it called, the part that you want to eat, and away from the part that right now you're putting away. So you shouldn't cut a piece that's so big that if you hold it, it looks like you're like a guzzler. Right?
Glutton.
Right? What?
Glutton.
Glutton, yeah.
The hashbar should work just the opposite. Because on Shabbos, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is mekadesh the day, and it's coming from the top, down. And on Yantif, it's mekadesh Yisroel, as manim, so it should be coming from the bottom.
Yeah, I hear it. But it's not, that's not dependent on that. What exactly it's been, I'm not sure. But so that's the on the other Shabbos, you can cut a very big slice, even if you don't have a lot of people, because it shows the chavivus of the Sudas Mitzvah. So that should apply to any Sudas Mitzvah, not just Shabbos. If you're cutting a motzi by Sudas Mitzvah, you cut a big piece. Also, the first piece you eat should be, or the one you make the motzi on, should be from the end of the challah where it's most baked. In other words, the hard part. There's a old wives' tale that if you eat from the end of the challah, you'll remain a widow. Not a widow, a spinster. A spinster. You won't get married.
Rebecca.
What about people
are married? Right. I don't know. The it's not. The time is not a good thing. The ma'aseh halacha is not like that. So. And there's no makor for such a thing either, not to eat the ends of the challah. Right? Kids don't like to eat it because it's too hard or whatever. But no, there's no makor that I know of not to eat the ends of the challah. But if you want to be choshish, if you want to be choshish, hold on. If you want to be choshish for it, what I do is cut from the side where it is hard, not from the end mamish, and then you makayim shneim. You're cutting from the hard part, but not from the end. From the side of the end.
But for you, the inside is more tasty for you. Like,
yeah, it still says the place for the bracha is makom that koram bishulo, whatever.
Isn't there a machlokas whether or not it's kashan shifa? Because the Gemara doesn't mention it, but it's.
No, that's what's it called? First of all, it could be that that's another reason why. But there's no makor for not eating the end of a challah. No makor. Again, some people say that even the end of the challah you'll remain a spinster. Some say it's kosher l'shiva. There's no makor for that. No reason. And the Gemara says you should make the bracha on the end of the challah, where it's korum bishuba. Place where the place where it's most baked. That's the end of the challah.
Yeah, but today it's not the same way.
Why?
Today the baking is even. It's not like in the old days where you.
Yeah, but still, no. It's still. The last part is baked through and through. And the other part is only a crust on the outside. The last part, there's no inside. It's all crust, basically. The mamish, the end of the bread. There's nothing in between. In the side.
You're eating
a
kezias, so you get past that.
Yeah. Okay. That's lechatchila. Also, it's either better. To eat a kezias before your matzah, but most people are not makbid on that. As long as you, if you talk before you chew the bread, so you didn't get any taste from the bread at all, you have to make another bracha. If you didn't talk something to do with the suda, right? But if you talked after you chewed the bread, and you already swallowed some of the taste, then you don't have to make another bracha if you talked after that. L'chatchila, you shouldn't talk till you swallow the first piece. And as a hither, you shouldn't talk till you eat a complete kezias, before you talk. Again, most people are not makbid on that.
So someone just chews it?
What?
Where does it come from? Just, well, there's supposed to be a second school, I know, I shouldn't use that word here.
If you give your wife the end of the challah, she'll have a boy. I don't know. It could be. Makes man says if a woman bites off the pithum of an esrog, it's also a skula to have a boy. Seemingly have the same. Right, no, that's after Sukkot.
For easy childbirth.
Huh?
For easy childbirth, not after Sukkot.
I don't know, I can be made if it doesn't work, because in the yichud room I got married right after Sukkot. I brought my esrog, my wife bit off the pitom, and we had four girls after that. So I can be made it doesn't work. The okay, I think I'd come. Yeah.
So when someone chews it, they didn't swallow yet. They had to swallow something, but just chewing it is good enough. And then talking. I'm saying someone did this. They just chewed it.
Chewed. And you didn't swallow anything. You didn't swallow the saliva.
No.
I'm not sure. If past this, what I saw was you have to swallow some of the saliva. That's called the ready you ate.